Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the show. Vassos is here.
Aloha.
Rachel's here.
Greetings.
Later on, Stephen Mulhern is going to be here. Tell us more about Stephen Mulhern,
Well,
Rachel.
Stephen Mulhern is the presenter of one of my all-time favourite game shows, Catchphrase. Love it. Obsessed. Got the board game for Christmas. He's also an amazing magician. He's been on the show before and properly freaked me out with him guessing what number I was thinking of. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I liked it, but I enjoyed it. But he's also an amazing kids author, and he's got his second book out, Max Magic, The Greatest Show on Earth. I gave it to Dara last night. He read the first two chapters. He said, I like it. There's lots happening. He understands his dog. Please, can you bring it in and get Stephen to sign it? And then it will be my new bedtime reading book.
Stephen has also hosted the show.
Very, yes, very professionally.
Very professionally. He's done Magic on the Radio, which always goes down very well. He's also been announced as the new host of You Bet.
Has he?
As it comes back to TV.
Wow.
Or have I made
no,
that
there's
up?
Something
you mean
else.
Deal or no deal?
Deal or no deal.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Deal or No Deal has been picked up by ITV because it was a Channel 4 show.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Correct.
That's what's going on there. The Times front page today, power hoops, comfy shoes, the star sets new hot buys. What are they? What are power hoops?
I don't know.
Well, if you don't know.
Oh, they're massive earrings.
They might be. They might be massive earrings. I suspect they are.
And then comfy shoes. So there was a whole big thing about like high-end trainers.
Is yeah. That,
yeah.
We had a conversation yesterday with the brilliant, didn't we? The amazing, the one of our favourite actors ever. Yeah. Will Poulter, who's in the new Marvel movie, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which achieved apparently box office, you know, a record box office opening weekend in the UK. It's in cinemas now. And we talked to him about his ankle. Because he rolled his left ankle and he came in on crutches yesterday. Now, I've got an issue with my right ankle and you have a fracture, a stress fracture on your right shin, which I presume feeds down to your ankle because that tendon is all connected via your fascia. So you probably felt it in your ankle first, I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm guessing. And yesterday we talked to him about this and I just wish I'd have known that, you know, if you have back to because this is a comfy shoes conversation. So you have different kinds of running shoes. So you have a neutral shoe, and you have a comfort shoe, right? And if you have a slant towards your knee pronating, then you need a neutral shoe. But I didn't know that if your knee goes inwards automatically, if that's the natural way your sort of biomechanics work as you get older or whatever, if your knees collapse inwards, which is the most common thing to go wrong with a leg, not terribly wrong, lots of people run and walk like that anyway, but it's not really ideal, it's not what you want, and especially if it gets worse as you get older. But if your knee collapses in, it's pronation. But if your knee goes out, which is what yours does, mine does, and Will's does, which is why we've rolled our ankle, it's called a supination. Did you know that?
I had been told that, but I don't think mine does.
Yeah,
I think mine goes in.
Well,
badly.
How come if it goes in, you've got an issue on the outside of your leg then?
No, it's on the front of my leg.
Oh, it's on the front of your leg.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know that. Okay.
You can tell a stress fracture if you. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to know. But but if you tap your heel, if it hurts in your shin.
Yeah, no, tap. It's all about the tapping, apparently. If you tap and it doesn't hurt, it may be a tendon or a sprain. But if you tap and it hurts, it's probably some kind of fracture. Squawkies, parrots taken on walkies like dogs.
Oh, do they fly on the lead?
I've seen that.
Do they fly?
Well, I've seen, I'm not sure. I don't know, I'm not qualified. But I've seen parrots being walked and I've seen them being flown on the same leash, like a control line remote control aircraft, and I didn't like it. But then again, I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. Dolly Parton announces brand new rock album, featuring Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Miley Cyrus, and guess who else?
Bruce Springsteen,
okay.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus. Taylor Swift?
Well, I'll give you the answer. Mm-hmm. Anyone she darn well likes.
Oh, okay.
Because who's going to say no to Dolly Parton? I mean, she's clearly picked up the phone to Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Miley Cyrus, and it's 3 for 3. You know, who else? I would like to see Taylor Swift on there. Hear Taylor Swift on there. I would like to hear Bruce Springsteen on there. Did anybody go and see Bruce Springsteen in Dublin last night?
Oh, no, not me.
He's played Ireland 3 times. See, look, I know Ireland were knocked out of the Eurovision Song Contest last night, which is a song that we thought would win to the extent we put a bet on it, didn't
yes, we,
Vassas?
Did.
So I owe you a tenner now, because you went for a tenner each way. It was 500-1. We thought, why? Well, now we know why. but whilst we were placing the bet, it went down to 300-1, and we thought, oh, we're so clever, we're so sharp on this one. We know a hit when we hear one. We've been in the music business for ages. And now we know why we've never been invited on a judging panel.
And by the way, yesterday I checked the odds. It went from 300-1.
Yes.
When we got in.
Yes.
200-1.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
150-1.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then it was 100-1 when I checked yesterday afternoon. Yeah. I was thinking, this is great. It's a shoo-in.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe the news when I heard it this morning.
So for a tenner, we'd have made $3,000.
Mm.
Wouldn't we?
Yes.
We would have done.
But plus our stake
back.
But
we haven't. We would have invented the combustion engine, but we didn't.
Yeah, we're busy.
Robert De Niro becomes a dad to a 7th child at the age of 79. Just a question. Exactly. Two things, right? A, good luck with that now that you have a child at the age of 79. I'm sure he has help, doesn't he? Robert De Niro.
Don't think he's doing the night feeds.
Yeah, I don't think so. Do you somehow? But also, where does he get the urge to merge at 79? I mean, I'm not saying you don't, because I'm sure that you do, and some people more than others, but I'm like, good for him.
I had a dream.
Yes.
Very, 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 you know, this is happening sort of dream, that Caroline was pregnant again. And I woke up yesterday and I was thinking, oh gosh, I'm going to be in my late 60s by the time the latest one leaves home. And then when I woke up and it wasn't a dream, because I always thought I'd have another child in a heartbeat. But it turns out, I'm pleased she's not pregnant.
Right, so I have 2 4-year-olds. Thank you for this, Vassos.
Yep.
I'm 57.
Yep, yeah, no.
So I am waking up to your dream that you are describing as a nightmare.
Were you thinking as you were speaking, Vassos?
Happy Wednesday, everyone.
Sorry.
You're not sorry, though, are you?
Sorry, not sorry.
You're not sorry at all? You don't know sorry, do you? Where I'm concerned.
I think I'll be a mallet at 40.
Imagine that. Imagine having to put... By the way, I have twins. Yes. Not one, two. So I have double your... So you're saying that my idyllic fatherhood to Birnwald is actually a living nightmare. Thank you. Do you want your other leg broken? Yeah.
Don't even try.
Okay.
Just leave it.
If you think your life is a little bit, you know, off kilter, out of sorts, you know, running a little bit wilder than you want, you're not holding loose, you know, you're just still reaching for the reins, then first of all, you know, take a big deep breath. And then one of the things you can do is you can just have a look, you know, at your most personal space. For most of us, I would imagine that's our bedroom. You know, and you look around your bedroom and you think, is this room as I want it to be? You know, and is there something I could tidy, something I could get rid of, something I could discard, something that I could improve? And could I and would I? Therefore, can I and will I? And then do that, you know. And if you have trouble doing that, and I've just moved to this new room above the garage so I don't wake everybody up in the morning, you know, and it's beautiful and there's hardly anything in it, but it's already sort of unraveling a bit because entropy is everywhere. And if you leave a room in the highest order and then lock the doors and come back 10 years later, it will have started to just go a bit awry because that's what happens. And if you allow some human activity in there, then you know, well, if you got kids, and even if you haven't got kids, you know, your house can be so tidy every morning and it's like a bomb site, you know, by the time everybody goes to bed again. It, you know what it's like, Rachel, don't you?
Oh, my word, 100%.
You know, and the bigger the house, the bigger the room, the bigger the chaos, the more stuff you have, this kind of stuff. And if you have something in your room, you think, well, I can't, you know, because it's a metaphor. How can you sort your life out if you can't sort your room out? That kind of thing, you know. And if you look at your room and you think, oh no, even that's too much. A, it tells you a lot about how much we underestimate, you know, organisation. But also, just in that case, pick a drawer. For example, pick your sock drawer. Okay, so pick your sock drawer. And here's why you pick your sock drawer. Because most people put new socks on every day or every 2 days or every 3 days. I don't. Different story for me. But most people do. And so if you open your sock drawer or your knicker drawer or your undies drawer every single day and it's ordered, you're going to do that every day. Probably one of the first things you do in the morning. And that's going to give you a message about yourself, isn't it? So imagine that all your other drawers are absolutely completely chaotic, but your sock drawer is sorted. You will open your sock drawer on average 30 seconds a day. That's 3.5 minutes a week. Yeah, that's 2.5 hours a month. And that, what's that? That's like, it's 50 hours a year. And then if you think about the fact that most sort of slices of your day are probably, of organisational slices of your day are probably between the 30 seconds of the sock drawer opening and the 5 minutes of, saying, filling the dishwasher or emptying the dishwasher, then if you look at, identify all those chunks and sort out those chunks one day at a time, then pretty soon your life will be so much more organised than it ever was before. And your foundation for joy and extra, you know, capacity to do other things will be seem infinite compared to what it was. Now, I think that that's really interesting and fascinating and worth doing. I wear the same socks, though, for 5 days on the bounce, doesn't it? I don't know if anybody else does.
Nope.
Why?
Well, why not, is my question.
Because they smell?
No, but mine don't smell.
Well, then crack on.
Because I wear two pairs of socks. I double sock on a daily basis anyway, right? And also, I wear socks for probably a fifth of the time of most people, because the second I get home, I go barefoot. So I'm thinking, if you wear your socks for a day, right, and I wear my socks for a fifth of a normal day, then that's 5 days. I've got five days within a single day's wear. Otherwise, what you're saying is, if you're saying to me that I should be changing my socks more often, even though I only wear them for a fifth of the time most people wear them for, then you should change your socks at 10 o'clock this morning, and then again at 1 o'clock this afternoon, and at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and at 7, and then once before you go to bed at 10. Otherwise, it's not fair on me.
Okay.
So in my head, I've organised my virtual sock drawer.
I'm pleased for you.
Is that worth the journey?
That's 50 hours a week, a year.
Yeah, I know. Saved.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with that? Why can't I sort out my bedroom? I've got all this extra time on my hands. It's a beautiful morning this morning. It wasn't forecast at all in London, so hopefully you have similar, if the forecast wasn't great. It's going to get cloudier later. It was nice yesterday afternoon, wasn't it?
Oh, no, it was really rainy.
No, I was lying in the garden and you live around the corner from me, so you must have watching a film.
No, I tell you what I was doing yesterday afternoon. I was driving to the dog groomers, driving back from the dog groomers, driving to school, driving back from school,
stunning.
Driving to golf, driving it back from golf.
No, hang on a second. It poured down at 6:30, like cats and dogs, because Eli was due to walk home from his little theatre club and I went to go and pick him up. And his best friend is called Dexter. One of his best friends. He has a group of best friends. One of his best mates is called Dexter. And Dexter's mum, Becky, also had the same thought as me. So we both pitched up. She said, I've just texted Tash saying if Eli wanted picking up because it was raining, I'd pick them both up. I said, well, we're both here now. It's fine. Anyway, they both come out begging, could they still walk home in the rain? So me and Dexter's mum just drove back home again. It's like, well, that was a good turn that went pretty much punished. We thought, no, but it was beautiful in the afternoon. It was gorgeous.
Was it?
Yeah, you're probably asleep or something like that.
That's possible.
Possible. Hello, Chris. Loving the chat. In fact, merino wool socks are naturally antimicrobial and can be worn for 5 days without any smell. Gordon from Tico Socks. Tico have sent us all the socks. This is why we started talking about it, because we still have a few left. They sent us like, I don't know, millions of pairs of socks. And Richard, who wasn't here for the sock day, I said to Rich, take some socks. And that's why we started talking about the socks. By the way, how do we say the name of your company? Is it Teko or Tico? It's T-E-K-O. What would you go with that one?
I'd go Teko.
Would you?
Yeah,
Teko.
I'm going to go Tico.
Okay.
Just in case.
I think that would need two E's.
Yeah, but I'm under... Well, I don't know.
Like
depends.
A golf tee.
Yeah, well, it may do. We'll find out, won't we?
Okay.
We'll find out.
Although they are... They're quite nice, aren't they? They keep your feet warm, so they're sort of tea cosy.
The cars, Evo cars, that's EVO. That's not Evo, it's Evo.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm just counter thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Mike could slide both ways. Anyway, we could find out because Gordon can actually text us back now. And what, phonetically, how do we say your company name?
What Gordon said about merino wool. My brother is like, I think he might have a little shrine to merino wool in his house. Mm. Everything he owns, everything he wears is merino wool. And he insists that it keeps you cool in the summer and warm in the winter.
Oh, very clever. Magic grill.
Mm. Yeah, that's like a good, well-built sort of old-fashioned house.
Yes, you know, with the big thick walls.
Thick walls. Cool in the summer, warm in the winter. It's what you need, isn't it? It's what you need. Talking about the old sock drawer and organised, you know, they do say, don't they, you know, if you make your bed every day, before you leave your house, if you make your bed every day, even if you have a terrible day, you still come home to a made bed.
Yeah.
And if you do make your bed, it increases your chances, apparently, of having a better day because you're taking responsibility for, you know, and responsibility sits on every action and responsibility sits on every word.
I like that.
I thought you might. I thought that might get me back in your good books after a little
my street.
Unexpected, unintended contretemps over the old Teco Tico issue.
Evo Evo.
Yes. Evil.
No, I said Evo Evo.
You said Evil Evo.
I didn't. That's what you heard. It's not what I said.
You wouldn't be the first. The other thing I learned yesterday was if you find something simple that you do every day difficult, okay, so it's simple to do, but you find it difficult, right? Because you're not giving it the attention it deserves. If you pay it more attention for the next 20 times you do it, uncomfortably so perhaps, as far as you're concerned, your time and your effort is concerned, uncomfortably so. If you give something that is a little bit bumpy 20 times or 100 times more attention for the next 20 times you do it, you will then find it 1,000 times easier for the next 10,000 times you do it. I like that.
I would take
Come
that
on, that's
ratio.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You got it. You got to say that's all right. So this is interesting. Matthew Alexander, Vassal's boy, eldest boy, only boy so far, unless that dream comes true that you talked about last night, the one you really don't want to come true because you don't want to be a dad to a 15-year-old when you're in your 60s. Who would want that? Anyway, so he passes his theory test, his driving theory test. So you can now take him out on the road legally to learn to drive because he's 17 and he's passed his theory test, which you don't have to do, but you can do. As long as you're 17, you have a provisional driving license. It is legal for your father to take you in a car and begin to teach you to drive. Before that, it's illegal, Vassos.
Yes, all good.
But before that, it's completely legal.
Yes.
And, you know, that's people shouldn't do that.
They definitely shouldn't. All right. But from 17 onwards, it's fine.
So you insta'd a picture of Matthew getting into your car yesterday to go driving legally with you, I presume.
Yep.
And I saw that on Instagram and I reposted it. And you had, I don't know if you know, but you had thousands of likes for that photo. It's a really lovely photo. It's a coming of age photo. And I, last night, was out with Noah. Because on Tuesdays, Noah and I go out for tea on our own because nobody else is in the house till 6 and we were supposed to eat at 5 and then everybody else goes swimming. And I say everybody, the younger ones who I'm going to be a father to when they're teenagers in my 60s. Okay. What's the matter?
Very sorry about that.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. And then Eli goes to theatre club, which I've already alluded to. Mm-hmm. So Noah and I go out for this tea.
Yeah.
You know, and he saw that picture. And he said, I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for the day that I'm 17 and I can legally go out and drive in the car. And he was really happy for Matthew. And he was also envious as well. Mm. But he was happily envious. So do you know what he started to do? Well, do you know what he did instantly?
Worked out that day.
He worked out how many days from yesterday it's going to be until then. And the answer is 1,008. So it's 1,007 today. And he's going to start crossing them off on his wall. He's going to write on his wall. Because we allow writing on the wall in our house. We encourage it, actually. You know, as long as it's meaningful. So he's going to start this sort of calendar, this countdown to what to Matthew's place, point in life, as far as he's concerned. And he had to go and he had to look up which year was a leap year. Or were there any leap years between now and him turning 17? Which will be on the 10th of February 2025, I think it is. 25, 23, 24, 20, 26. Okay. And so we looked at when was a leap year because I keep forgetting. when a leap year is. Do you know the answer to this?
Olympic years.
Yeah.
Olympic years. So that is therefore?
2024.
Which is next year?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is different to the World Cup?
Yes.
Or is the World Cup the same as an Olympic year?
Euros and the Olympics are usually the same year.
All right. So we looked up when was a leap year. But that's not the first thing that came up. I don't know why, but we must have inputted the words in a different order. And what came up was do all countries have the same leap year? And the answer is no.
What?
They don't. And it's absolutely fascinating. So various countries have different leap years, but here's and that's all really interesting, right? But China have a leap month.
I mean,
they insert an extra month.
How does that work if you're booking flights?
I don't know. I don't really care, Rach. That's not the most interesting bit of this story.
It confuses me.
Don't you want to know how the month works? No, because look, what's going to happen is, it's like interpretation, isn't it? If you order something in English and it's French, then they'll just interpret what you're ordering into their language.
Okay.
So that's how that happens,
okay.
I would imagine. We book it in our time and they convert it to their time. There'll be a conversion.
Okay.
It's like, how do you spend a pound when you really need to a dollar? Well, you do a conversion, don't you?
Right.
That'll be that.
Okay.
Yeah. But China don't have a day. They don't have an extra day. They insert a whole month. Boom. So every 4 years, China have an extra month. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. How cool is that?
We should all really have an extra month, shouldn't we?
You know all those people who miss out on their birthday on the 29th of Feb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, times that by 7% in China. China have got just got their own thing going on, haven't they? I think that's fascinating.
That my mind is addled.
I know. It's great, isn't it?
Yep.
This is all because you posted a picture of Matthew legally driving with his dad because now he's 17. Legally. Before that, you wouldn't want to go there. Tilly's flatmates have texted the show. They claim they've set their alarm and got up early to text the show. They it's not because they've been up all night.
Have they been up all night?
Hello, Chris. We are Tequila Tilly's flatmates. She's amazing and we love her. She's extremely inspirational and great at her job. Tell Felix I love him. And Chris, you're great too. Katie, Hope and Maddie in West Brompton. Just chucking it all in there, hoping they get their text. That's how you get your text read out on this show.
Good work.
On a Tuesday, though, that's strong.
When is the leap month? Approximately every 3 years. 7 times in 19 years, a leap month is added to the Chinese calendar to determine when find the number of new moons between the 11th month in 1 year and the 11th month in the following year, i.e. 30 new moons in 1 year. They insert a whole month. Boom!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bass, it's over to you.
If you see a sparkly gold jacket on your telly, our next guest is probably in it. He's now taking his Saturday night primetime razzmatazz back to your local bookshop. The latest adventure of Max Magic, the greatest show Max on earth, is out tomorrow. And I think we can all learn from Stephen Mulhern.
Yes. Nice one, Vassos. Good morning, Stephen. Welcome back.
Good morning. Do you know what? I love it here. I always say it, but it's a fact. This is a joy. By the way, you catch me off guard every time. I never know when you're going to go back on air. And I'm like, oh, it started. Pull the mic, quick.
Well, the thing is, when you come into the studio, we're on air more than we're off air. It's the opposite of like any show Jamie Theakston's on.
Well, there you go.
I think so. Does he still turn up for his gigs?
Turn up? Why are you looking at me?
Well, I don't know. Because I pass where he works every day and you never see him going into work. So you think, is he really there?
Bizarrely, I do see him in Chiswick a lot.
Is he at the vanguard of AI? Is he deepfaking himself on a daily basis?
Is he an antiques dealer?
And also, he co-hosts it with Amanda Holden, who's like, she's always in America, which is not ideal for a daily breakfast show. Is it? How did we get onto this?
I don't know.
We're supposed to talk about Max Magic. It's the return of Max.
Yeah.
Max is back, first of all. For those who don't know, who is he, Stephen?
So Max Magic is me, really. Me growing up. In book one, we did. I made sure there was a message. There's a message in every book for kids to learn. A tiny bit of confidence. Book one was all about being anything is possible, which I do stick by. Book number two is The Greatest Show on Earth, where Max enters a magic competition. He's got these magical powers, which he learned from book one. He thinks he's got what it takes to win the talent competition, like the equivalent to Britain's Got Talent. And when I was growing up, my first big break was on ITV on a show called The Big, Big Talent Show. So everything in the book, my family's in it, my brothers, my sister, my mum and dad. You see literally me growing up all throughout, and I learned tricks all through Max. And the big day comes. Can he win the competition, or will he be beaten by Mr. Mysterio, who is his magic competition, and Botley the Bully? Do they know about his magical powers? Well, you're going to find out in the book.
Mr. Mysterio. So yeah. Everyone else in the book sort of existed and exists.
Exactly.
And or existed.
Yeah.
Did Mr. Mysterio sort of exist?
Yes, he did. Ooh. Yeah. Because on the talent show that I was on, there was another magician. And it's really bizarre. Magicians are a weird, like, they're a weird breed of people. Because you look and you study each other and try and work out what you're going to do and how you can beat the other person. Bizarrely, I didn't win the talent competition. Charlotte Church did. But does Max win his competition?
And you're she has find a magic out. All of her own.
And she's got a... Yeah, she does. By the way, can I just say something?
Yes.
Not many people know this, but in the back of the book, there's a QR code, right? And the same in book one, but in book two, there's new tricks. And I take you into my home and I teach you how to do tricks. So I do the trick, then I perform it, then I show you the secret. And I've got a brand new one that I would like to show you, Chris, now that I think is going to blow your mind. Yours, Rachel's, Vassos, everybody that's listening, I think it's going to blow your mind. And I'll show you how to do it in the book.
Shall we finish with that?
It's up to you.
Yeah, look, I think so, don't you?
It's your choice.
Well, I don't mind. We can do it now. What's your vibe? Do you want to do it now or later?
Well, no, Chris, listen, I'll be guided by you. You're the master of this.
Oh, no, gosh. No. It's great, this. It's great. Max is back with The Greatest Show on Earth. And you say it's a bit like Britain's Got Talent, but of course you did the magic version of that yourself as well.
Yeah.
So this is all, you know, what's it, impersonating life, or is it life impersonating art, or?
Well, the weirdest thing of all is on the way in, and I don't know if this is some sort of outer world sort of experience, but without going too deep into it, but on the way in, I was like, this is our second book. I never thought I'd even write one book. And Tom Easton, by the way, who writes the books with me, I'd never written a book before. I know you have, but there comes a point where you go, you need a tiny bit of help. And also in this second book, that's what it's all about in terms of never give up, because sometimes you do need to ask for a bit of help. And that's what Tom's done. So, yeah, I just think, honestly, I'm just over the moon to be here and talking about something that actually I never thought would be something I was overwhelmed by. But now I'm like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, you're not overwhelmed, you're just whelmed. By the way, you never hear of anybody being whelmed, do you? You can be under and overwhelmed.
Very good.
Let's
point.
Just be whelmed. Yeah. I don't want to be underwhelmed, I don't want to be overwhelmed, but I'm really happy to be whelmed.
Or just be happy.
Yeah.
If I am.
I hope you've had a whelmy day.
Do you know what made me laugh, though? I had a text off Harley Willoughby this morning because she didn't realise that she's in the book.
Right.
So I didn't phone her up and say, look, just to let you know, you're going to be in the book. But what I did was, she presents the TV show, The Greatest Show on Earth, and I put her under Willow Hollaby, right? And she went, oh my, I didn't realise I was in the book. She's over the moon. Yeah.
Well, she's in the book today. She was in the ice bath yesterday.
Yeah, well, we need to talk about
this. She's in all the papers today in her ice bath.
Yeah, so we were speaking about this before we came on air.
Yes.
Is it as good as they say?
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy called Andrew Huberman, who's a neurologist, neuroscientist. He's a professor, and he has a podcast called The Huberman Lab, and he does 2 hours on the ice bath. So just listen to that. Don't take it from me. You know, what do I know? Take it from him. You know, I have half a brain cell, but it's very healthy. It's a much healthier half a brain cell now that I take ice baths than it was before.
When you first got in it, though...
Yes.
Could you stay the distance?
Yeah, because you have. It's all about the breath work. Without getting nerdy about it, it's very easy. You get in there with your breath held by your own choice. I suppose your breath being taken away by the shock of the ice. And so, if you get in there with a breath hold, you're already telling your body that you're in charge, everything is all right, and it then has a chance of relaxing, a bit more breath work. After 30 seconds, you do relax. And if you can get past 30, 45 seconds, a minute, then it actually gets really easy and you begin to get warm because you get what's called a thermogenic blanket, which is why when you get out, when you get out of an ice bath, if you've been in there for 2 or 3 minutes or a bit more maybe, then you'll be red. And that's because your body has created its own electric blanket and the redness is the heat.
Wow.
It's so great. I used Chris's on Sunday and it's the first time I've ever done an ice bath, and Chris got me to do the breathing. So it was like in out 10 times and then hold and in the bath. And I did it, didn't I? I was in there for, what, maybe a minute and a half?
Yeah, and then you feel like quiet, don't you? Yeah, the quiet that you never imagined will happen.
And he said, you keep doing the in-out breathing and as your body feels it's appropriate, you can start to slow it down. And it just, and then you said to me, and start to smile.
I couldn't get out.
Yeah.
Couldn't get out. She was warming it up too much.
Did Chris know that you're in his bath? Yeah.
It's very...
You stick by this as well. Matt Willis also, he's really into this.
It's the thing, everybody's talking about it now.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I start every day either with an ice bath, or in the winter I go into the Serpentine, which is, you know, the lake in the middle of London. I broke the ice there one morning before Christmas. It's so invigorating. I don't know whether you should though, Stephen, because it gives an awful lot of va-va-voom, and I think you might have...
You might explode.
Too much va-va-voom already.
We should have had one in here today. That would have been perfect, Chris Evans style. Put me in it.
Well,
live.
Hang on. We have many of them. Brass Monkey, who gave Holly hers and supplied me with mine, they're at Carfest this year. So you can come and jump in the deep end there with us.
I'm not joking.
Come round 2 hours later. We can put it in. It's great publicity. Why don't we have you reading your book in an ice bath? If you want to get some views, mate, that's how you do it.
Yeah. So let's start to get imagined.
Ice magic. We all know about ice magic, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Listen, the book, Max Magic. It's brilliant. People love it. The reviews are in. Here's the latest review from a young lady called Mary. She's 8 years old and she's related to one of us who works on the show. It's not me. But Vassos, it could be you. She's your daughter, Vassos.
She's my daughter.
Yeah.
The one hanging around and who's got her own bedroom.
Yeah.
Hanging
around
Mary.
Almost for as long as I was, waiting for you to join in that bit. Anyway, here's Vassos' daughter with her review of this brilliant book, the second outing for Max Magic by Stephen Mulhern with Tommy Stern.
I'm really pleased Stephen wrote another book about Max. He's really funny and makes me want to do magic. And I wish I could talk to our dogs like Max talks to Lucky. Holly might say, give me food, but our puppy Bella might be a bit more interesting.
Goodness, that is so...
I know.
That's
she
amazing.
She absolutely loves it. She read your first and reviewed your first, and now she was thrilled. She goes, is that another Max Magic?
She's like the most prolific 8-year-old reader in the land,
yes,
on the planet.
Brilliant.
She's got all the way up to... she said, Mr. Singh has just said yes to someone called Daisy.
Yes, yeah.
That's quite along the way through the...
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'd say three-quarters of the way there.
So, who taught her to read?
Caroline.
Obviously, her mum.
Good. I just wanted to check.
English at Oxford. In fact, got a scholarship to study English at Oxford.
That would do.
As opposed to me, who, you know, sometimes a misdemeanor is beyond me.
So, Max Magic. Max Magic in book two enters the greatest show on earth and comes up against his nemesis. You hosted this actual show on TV, so it was the BGT version or the BGT's take on magic.
Yeah.
How did it go? How was it for you? What did you learn from some fellow upcoming magicians?
Well, I tell you what happened. Antoinette were meant to be hosting it, but they had COVID. So I got the phone call. I was on the way to do In for a Penny, funny enough, and we had to turn around. We went back to Birmingham, did the show in a theatre in Birmingham, and it was great. There was 10 magicians, 10 of the biggest magicians that have entered Britain's Got Talent, and it was just so good to watch them. And the greatest thing of all is watching them from the side, just seeing their techniques and all that sort of stuff. Penn was also, he stood in for Simon Cowell, so he was the head
this
judge.
Penn from Penn and Teller.
From Penn and Teller, who is just... the master. You know, he in terms of magic, him and Teller know everything. You know, Teller supposedly never tells, hence why he doesn't speak. But he's the brains behind the operation. And it was just great to see a magician perform in front of someone like him. Do you know what I mean? It's when you're performing in front of somebody that not only you admire, but you know is a genius and what that sort of art form, it was incredible. But they tried their hardest. And, yeah, we had our ultimate winner, Eric Chen, who was just a brilliant... His sleight of hand is just mind-blowing. Interestingly, by the way, do you know who Jerry Sadovich is?
Yeah.
Right, so Jerry Sadovich, for those that don't know,
is
a Scottish comedian. Exactly. In terms of this country, many people don't know, he's possibly the best sleight of hand magician we've got.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he's not on the TV. Well, I do, because he's so offensive to people, but he can't...
I used to produce his TV show.
Did you? So why can't he just hold it back? Because he's so good.
Because then he wouldn't be Jerry Sadovich.
No, true.
You know what I mean?
But part
he's
of
an extraordinary
goes,
human being.
He is phenomenal.
He is extraordinary.
Intriguing. And I would love to know what's going on in his brain.
So enigmatic.
Yeah.
When I said, say I produced a TV show, I'm not sure if I did. I think I tried to. It's a bit like the Johnny Vegas experience. Not dissimilar. In fact, you never see them in the same room at the same time.
That'd be a show.
It's amazing,
Johnny
isn't it?
And Jerry. Good luck with that one. Netflix.
But those sort of people, it's incredible, isn't it? Where you just see them, you go, they're so good at what they do.
Yeah.
It's just a real shame that they...
Yeah, but,
know.
You know, that's the way they roll. That's what makes them even more enigmatic, I suppose. You know, now, before you came on today, I said, I'm so excited to get Stephen on anyhow, but more than usual, because ITV have announced him as the new host of You Bet.
If
and,
only
and
you
then
know
everybody looked at me blankly and went, no they you haven't did. I went, but, yes they have they but, went, no it's Deal or No Deal. I went, oh yeah
but you do know You Bet is my favourite show in the world.
Oh yeah, and I also know that ITV want to bring it back.
Are you serious?
Fact. I know that, and I know who the new James Bond is. They're
well,
the only two
fact.
Things I really know at the moment. I know a little bit something about Ted Lasso, but I might be involved in that, so I don't want to give that one away.
Well, hang on a second. You can't just throw that out there, can you?
I can. It's my show. I can do it.
Yeah,
I like.
But that's true.
I can throw you out if I want to. No, only just those things.
Can you give me a clue? As to the James Bond one first.
What?
James Bond.
No, I can't give you a clue. No.
Man, woman.
Man, woman. Yes, man, woman.
Man or woman?
Man or woman.
Does he really know?
No.
I bet he does.
I do know.
I bet he does.
I know.
That's the annoying thing.
I've been in this business a while now. I know.
So how do you know about
You Bet? Look, all these texts about our guests. Nothing. No texts for me. All for Stephen.
But how do you know about You Bet?
Don't like it. This is why we don't ask him to host the show anymore. Because he's far too popular.
Oh, yeah. Chris.
But then again, so is Tom Allen. Not looking good for me, to be honest. Katrina in Surrey. It's so fantastic to hear Stephen Mulhern on the show. My 9-year-old son, Hero, worships Stephen and the Max Magic books and cannot wait for tomorrow. He didn't want to go to school this morning, so as he wanted to listen to Stephen, so I promised that we will re-listen later. Well, the podcast is out, so it's going to be on the podcast this. It'll be called The One with Stephen Mulhern. Jamie struggles with his handwriting and punctuation, but has the best imagination and just needs all the encouragement in the world to keep going. We hear this a lot.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that, Stephen.
Which is why I think Max Magic is great, because that's what it's all about. It's about what you can do, what you can achieve, and also more importantly the imagination is endless. Whatever you want to try and do or make happen, fingers crossed, with Max and his magical powers, he tries to do that. So that's amazing to hear.
Okay, so you know, the power of words, a mastery of words, can be an amazing gateway, but it can also be a huge hurdle for some people. So the best way around is through, and you go through with your hands. And if you can't do the mental, you get into the physical.
Yeah.
If you're having trouble with the physical, you get it into the mental. That's
also
what you do.
The other thing is, I don't know whether I mentioned to you, Chris, but the book is dyslexic friendly in terms of the font.
Yeah.
So much so that now...
Is that a thing that they can do?
Yeah, so inside, if you look at the font, it's really bizarre. I never even knew about this, right?
I
didn't come up with this. I don't know who actually came. I will find out.
Wow.
But when you read it, even if you're the best reader in the world, it's so easy to read. And if you're a struggling reader, it's even better. So much so that on AutoCue now, I've got the same font. It just makes it so much easier. It's bizarre. It's amazing.
Wow. Katie in Swindon didn't know that. That's brilliant. It's brilliant. Nobody's ever told us that, and we've interviewed thousands of authors. Thank you.
Yeah.
Chris, it's brilliant to hear Stephen Mulhern on the show this morning. Our sons, Elliot 7 and Cameron 1, love Max Magic. Elliot tried the trick in your first book via the QR code. You don't get many grey elephants in Denmark, do
yes,
you?
Yes, good.
Is that a proof then?
Yeah, that is absolutely proof.
Thank you
yeah.
for your brilliant story. Hi, Chris. Please can you ask Stephen if he was Mr. Blobby on Saturday night's Britain's Got Talent? Because we think that was what happened, says Neil in Stockport.
Yeah, let me tell you now, for Simon Cowell, I can tell you this is a fact, and it's the first time I've spoken about it. He was on screen. The viewers most probably thought he's really angry. He was raging. He had no idea it was going to happen. Nobody told him. Nobody told Anton Deck. All Anton Deck was told was there's a magician at the end, and he was done. Was it me? Who knows? The reality is,
it was you. So please, why wouldn't you be?
Well, the fact of the matter is, sometimes people deserve stuff.
Is he the boss though? Could he fire you?
Well, not anymore because I don't work for him anymore.
Right,
so that's a bonus.
Was that
yeah.
what did it? Was that what did it?
Yeah, that's why. Get the suit. Get me on. It
so
was good though.
Who is hosting You Bet?
Well, Matthew Kelly used to host it.
I know.
That was such a good show.
The best show.
It
I don't
was
know.
Brilliant.
Because Gladiators is coming back.
With Bradley and his son.
Yeah, that's great, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that works.
Very interesting. Very
when you think about it, it used to be Ulrika and Fashion You, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a few people, wasn't it, I suppose? No, great. This is all good, man. ITV, yeah. We talked about ITV the other day because I was very lucky enough to be invited onto This Morning with Holly and Phil. And, you know, just going there, I was just saying what a happy ship it was. Then I talked about you and Anton Deck. And, you know, you just, I mean, it's all Kevin Ligo. He knows, it's not all Kevin Ligo, but he knows how to run things, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He knows how to get a culture going, get you all together as a happy band of sisters and brothers, and it just works, man, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think Kevin and Katie Rawcliffe, they've got such a happy ship now. But I ask you this all the time.
Yeah.
Will you ever go back to TV?
No, Phil asked me the same thing. I do something like This Morning, but I can't because I do this.
Right.
But the ones we were talking about, Anton Deck, and the fact that, you know, they kept it going for so long, and it helps that there are two of them.
Yeah.
You know, because they've got a shoulder each to lean on. Not that they have to, but they know it's there. And sometimes they do,
yep.
You know. And I was thinking, you know, because you host a lot of shows on your own. But with the greatest respect, they're not massive shows that require block-throughs and things like
As
that.
As in juggernauts, exactly, yeah.
You know, they're pretty, you know, handy, you know, suits that you get used to. You know,
agreed.
Like catchphrase, so you can have fun within them.
You can walk in there, yeah. Do it, and you have
crack.
To go.
I mean,
yes.
It still takes effort, attention, and focus, but it doesn't take the rehearsal,
of
the writing. The is this going to work or is this not going to work? You know, it's going to work. In for a penny, same kind of thing. You know, Deal or No Deal will be interesting for
yeah.
you. Have you done it already?
We did two pilots.
And
honestly, it was amazing. I've been watching a lot of the American Deal or No Deal, and last night there was a guy who he had a dollar. And he had a dollar and $1 million, and he was offered $437,000, and he went, no deal.
Oh. And I bet he lost.
He lost.
Yeah. No.
Ended up with a dollar.
There's a fantastic.
Honestly, it was like, oh my God.
There's a podcast about that, and it's hosted by our friend Dr. Katie Milkman, and it's about the US Deal or No Deal, and it's about the last time that happened and why you should always take the money. And then she explained why we don't take the money, because we have confirmation bias and we have loss aversion. And loss aversion and confirmation bias are very deeply inbuilt into our hard drive.
Do you think it's down to greed as well?
I don't know. She explains it much better than I would. I need to re-listen to it. It's 25 minutes. It's a brilliant podcast. But you should listen to it before
yeah,
you
well.
Do, because
yeah.
you're the new Noel Edmonds. What have you? What I mean, I have loads of respect for Noel Edmonds. I love him.
Yeah, agreed.
What renewed respect do you have for him after hosting two pilots?
Well, the fact of the matter is, he did it for 10 years, and he's been really incredibly supportive. He sent out a comment saying, "There's." Well, for me to say, it sounds a bit ignorant, but he said there's nobody better in his view to host it, which was like, wow, to hear that from him, because he didn't need to say
he's
that.
He's very generous.
That's
like
a
that.
Fact. Yeah, he didn't need to say it.
Yeah.
But having watched him do it, when people lose a massive amount of money, the way he gets out of stuff and the way he softens the blow, even though somebody's lost such a massive amount,
yeah.
Listen, he's the master of it. And also, but even when you go back to Noel's house party, come on. in terms of a Saturday night TV show, it was phenomenal.
Of course it was.
He was the master.
He wrote the book.
He absolutely
wrote the book.
He absolutely set there in the sort
Before
of game plan.
It was brilliant. Don't get me wrong. You had your Morecambe and Wise, yep. your two Ronnies, your this, that, and the other, but all pre-recorded, all sketch shows. You know, a bit of funny in front of the curtain interval skit stuff,
yeah.
But big live accessible entertainment shows. He wrote the book.
But it's interesting, though, when you look back at old school sort of Saturday night TV shows, when you think of Beatles About, again, genius.
Yeah, well, Beatles About was it was Candid Camera, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, again, yeah. But I was once told a thing by Jeremy Beadle, where because he was into magic, he loved it. When he did the wind-ups, when he did the big reveal, he'd pull out his handheld mic and he would always go, "Say nothing." And if you watch it back, he literally brings out the mic and just stops talking. And she lets them all do the work. It's amazing. When you watch it, now you know it.
He was massive on the radio as well.
Yeah.
He had a legendary show on, I think it was LBC on Sunday nights. Anyway, Stephen Mulhern is with us. And Stephen is talking about his new book, Max Magic. It's the second outing for Max. Give us a quick recap for those people who listen after nine, please, Stephen.
So Max Magic is me really growing up, learning magic and using magic to help me at school and helping me with confidence. And book one was about anything is possible. And Max Magic 2 now is about how you can just never give up. Continue trying to achieve your dreams, and Max tries to do that in a talent competition, but he's confronted by not only Botley the bully, but another magician who tries to take his dreams away. But can Max achieve what he wants to do? Can he get all the goals in his life? Well, I've got to be honest, you're going to have to wait and see. Read it.
Can
find
he
out.
Achieve another residency at Butlins for a start?
Well, he can. He can. Through me this year, yeah. We're doing a new stage show from the 27th of May from this year. We do 30 days throughout the year. We do three shows a day.
All around the Butlins?
Three shows a day.
Different places?
Yes. We do Marnet, Bognes, Skegness, and we do 30 days, 90 shows. Yeah, it's nuts, but it's amazing. I love it.
Of course you do. Do you do cruises?
Do you know, I've been working with P&O Cruises. I don't perform on it, yes. But I've written a show for them. Yeah.
Because P&O have got this. This is so weird you
I
say
love
this.
It.
It's one of those shows where everything seems to dovetail. P&O have this new ad campaign out that I came across yesterday where they advertise a shipload of fun. Come on. It's the best, isn't it?
I know. A shipload of fun. Yeah, you've got to be very careful how you say that, haven't you?
Right. Okay. Stephen is here. Now, in his books, there are QR codes, and if you scan the QR code, it will teach you how to do magic, but not just like, you know, with some sort of typeface and some stories and diagrams. This is you.
Yeah.
You welcome us into your home.
Yeah, so the best way to learn magic is to see it performed.
Right.
There's no point in reading stuff, because the reality is it's a lot harder. It's a visual form of art.
Yes.
So I do the trick. Then I take you by step, I show you the secret, I show you how your friends will react, and then I give you top tips on how you can do the tricks as well. From card tricks to tricks with stuff that you can find around your house, stuff where you can read people's minds, which is where... Oh, I know, Rachel, look, you're getting nervous. So here's the deal, right?
But I don't like it.
Well, let me show you something right now. Listen, everybody knows that this show is very honest. Nobody's going to go, let's set something up. That's impossible, because it will never happen. Not under Chris's rules. It's a fact. So who are we going to do it on? Chris? Rachel?
Don't mind.
Oh, that's, you tell us.
I don't mind. I don't mind. Somebody pick in there. Who do you want it on?
Who do you want it to do it on?
Okay, Mira wants it on me.
Okay, so Chris, just say any word
right.
in the English vocabulary. Any word you want.
Oh, dome.
Dome?
Yes.
Literally dome. Is there any reason why you said dome?
Because of St. Paul's Cathedral. I thought of Rome, and then I thought of St. Paul's Cathedral, and then I thought of dome. The first word I thought of was carrot, but I just didn't want to say it.
But you said dome?
Yes.
So here's the weirdest thing. In the book, obviously, there is
no,
so...
No, you can't have come up with that.
No.
You can't have come up with that.
No, I've not.
Because I changed my mind 7 times before I said it in the 5 seconds you asked me. If that says dome, I'm going... Home rhymes with dome.
What do you mean?
Please don't say please don't say that.
What do you think I'm
going to
do?
He's panicking.
If you say... Oh, no.
The reality is, look, here's the fact. He's going to have said any word in the English language.
Oh, if you've got dome written on whatever you're getting out of your pocket, then we're all going
home. I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
Well, no, the reality is, if I had that, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course it would. That's why I don't have it. So I don't have anything on it. But if I took this piece of paper,
God, for that.
If I took this piece of paper out and said to you, Chris, do you have any idea what word I've got on this piece of paper? What would you say?
What?
Well, no, but would you have any idea what? What's
no,
on this
piece? No. The answer's no.
The answer's no. And that's why it says no. No, but that's not the trick. Because there's three of you. I wanted to try this. Chris, say any colour, red or black.
Black.
Rachel, say any suit, clubs or spades.
Spades.
Spades. Vassos, any suit, ace to king.
Ace.
Ace of?
Hearts.
Ace of heart. Well, they said black, but you can change it if you want. Do you want an ace of hearts?
Yeah.
Or do you want to change it to anything else? You happy?
Happy with the ace of hearts.
Listen, that pack of cards has been there from the start.
Right.
Yeah.
I haven't touched it. Hopefully it's on camera as well. I'm going to go through nice and slow. You could have picked any card at all. We didn't set anything up. All the cards are face up apart from one card.
Yes.
That one's face down. The ace of?
Stop
the ace
it.
Of?
Stop it immediately.
The ace of hearts. Ace of hearts. Let's go through. Nice and slow. Look, you can see it. It's face down.
No.
One card out of 52.
Oh, God, I've seen it from the back. It's the ace of hearts. Stop
ace
it.
Ace of hearts. Yeah, baby.
Is that the QR code trick?
Yes, so that's in there.
No.
So, yes, all the tricks I'm going to start showing people are tricks you can actually do inside the book. So if you want to learn magic, then you can do it that way.
Right, you're off to this morning.
Yes, they're waiting. They're on standby.
Give my best to everybody there. I love those people.
Yeah, I know. Also, you gatecrashed their Christmas party, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm going to do it again this year.
Are you?
Yeah. By the way, it's the best smelling show on TV.
What do you mean?
Just go in there today and just make a point of just giving it the biggest whiff. seriously, because you get taken down to the basement first, don't you, for your makeup?
Yeah.
Just get. I mean, I was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. There we are, back to overwhelmed by the smell. And then you go towards these women, it smells differently.
Well,
it's different kind of sweet.
Different, yeah.
Different kind of sweet.
You've got this morning next door to Loose Women, next door to Lorraine.
Yes.
All different smelling.
Yeah, and GMB.
Yeah.
Different kind of sweet, man.
What a building. What a building that is.
Okay. Right, we've got to go. We're spreading now. This is not good for anyone. Listen, Stephen, you're awesome.
Thank you so much. Listen, a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me back, as always. Next time, let's have the bath.
Let's have the bath. Okay, you'll have one by then.
Do you think I should? I'm not joking.
It's very regenerative.
If Holly's got one, I will get into hers.
You couldn't look any better, but, you know.
Thank you.
No harm in trying.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.